If I could pick one word that describes our week together, we could use a number of words, but I like the word more. We got together more. We heard the word more. We were challenged and hopefully grew more. We got to sing more. We got to fellowship more. Thank you, brother, for coming. Lord bless you as you minister.
Okay, take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 5. You know, I want to say that I really appreciate the flute duet this evening. Okay. Now look this way, folk. I travel nationwide. I'm on the road. I've been in all the churches across America. I mean, I've been in a lot of huge churches. I've been in small churches. Now I want to give an honest statements, that's about the best flute duet I've ever heard. I'm telling you the truth. And a small church like this. Oh, and music stirs me anyhow, but that was beautiful. You know what someone wrote? What the hand is to the lutes. What the breath is to the flutes. What the fragrance is to the smell. What the spring is to the well. What the flower is to the bee. That is Jesus Christ to me. And you know what? Music, it's of the Lord, and I know that. It just stirs the inner man. So thank you both, y'all. I feel like paying you something for doing that. It was really good. Okay. Well, enough for that. Would you all look here, please? Tonight, we want to talk about the lights. Now, you know, I like the fact that this is a well-lit auditorium. Hey, look, I have gone to some churches where I could hardly see my Bible. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. As a matter of fact, I was in one church in the state of Michigan, and I mean, a tremendous storm came in, and all the light, the church was packed, and all the lights would go out. You know, Brother Gary, there is an advantage of memorizing the messages, knowing where you're going. And, you know, I just kept preaching in the dark, you know, didn't stop at all. I was going down the road one time pulling a 40-foot trailer, my whole family in it, and the electrical system in my truck, all the lights went out, going 70 miles an hour. I tell you what, you talk about something that will scare you. It really scared me, you know. So I appreciate lights. But we're not talking about this kind of light. We're going to talk about the Lord's light tonight, our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 16. You all know the passage. Look at what it says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, dear Lord, tonight we thank you for the honor of being able to preach the word of God. We pray, Lord, tonight you take the power of your word and you would do a great work in our midst. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In this passage, the word of God talks about the lights. And the first thing I want you to observe is the personal possession of this light. Our text states, let your light. Now, whenever God saves a person, the Bible says he gives you something. And this is the one thing that separates a person who knows Jesus Christ as his Savior from the person who has religion. For you see, light is not found in a denomination. It's not found through a catechism. It's not found through a baptism. No, light is found in a person. That person is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:9 says of the Lord Jesus, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Again, John and verse chapter 8, verse 12, Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And therefore, whenever God saves a person, he gives you a personal possession. Christ comes within our lives. But then second of all, our text declares the primary purpose of this light. It goes on to say, let your light so shine. And there is the primary purpose. We are the so shine. Look, if all the Lord wanted to do was save you, so you could go to heaven, then when God saved you, he could have killed you and taken you on home. But God spared our lives. You know what? When I first got saved, I was 17 years of age in West Virginia. And I had no intention of going to college. And so I worked for the Fairmont Times newspaper company. I was a typist. I used to get 112 words per minute on a manual typewriter. And the heartbreaking thing about that, so many of these young people have no idea what a typewriter even looks like. Because of the speed, and everything I do is fast anyhow, I got this job as a typist. And one morning, I'm going to work. And by the way, my dad's a coal miner. Where I live, you got to cross several sets of tracks. And so I have crossed these tracks hundreds of times. My dad's a coal miner. I know the train schedule. I am going up the road one morning to work. In my truck, I was whistling Onward, Christian Soldiers. I was so happy in the Lord. 17 years of age. I come to the first set of tracks. I don't even slow down. I go right across the tracks, and right in the middle of the tracks, I looked up, and right there is the engine. Now, to this day, I do not know how the train missed me. It was like this. I do recall this. For the next 7 miles, I tried to whistle, and all that came out was... You know, the Lord could have killed me and taken me on home, but God spared my life. You know what? God could have killed you after he saved you and taken you on home. God has spared your life. Why? There's a primary purpose. The Word of God says we are to so shine. When I was a young boy, a teenager, we used to fish a great deal in West Virginia. I mean, we fished all over West Virginia. Now, folk, this may turn your stomach because I know you folk up here, you got your lovely seafood and your lobster and all that good stuff, which is fine, all right? Not a thing wrong with that. But please, listen to me. I was raised on catfish and carp, okay? And so we would go fishing all night for carp, and we would use dough ball. And I want to give you a West Virginia recipe for making dough ball. You take 2 cups of flour, 1 cup of yellow cornmeal. You put a little bit of vanilla extract in there. You put 1 tablespoon of sugar. You moisten it. You put it into a cloth. You put it in hot boiling water for 45 minutes. And when it cools off, you begin to work it, and you make several batches, so you got a ball about this big around. And one night, my brother Mike and I were fishing all night for catfish, and you know what? We got so hungry. I said, Mike, I'm starving to death. He said, Jerry, I'm starving to death. I said, Mike, let's eat the dough ball. And so we ate the whole ball like that. Forget about fishing. And as we're fishing, though, that night, around 9 o'clock, he and I began to squint. We could hardly see the end of our fishing pole. We looked around, and one side of the glass on the A lantern was black from the smog of the fuel. So guess what we did? We picked the lantern up, turned the lantern around, began to fish from the clean side of the glass. But around midnight, again, Mike and I turned around and looked, and that side was black also. Now observe, the light was shining within. However, the entire glass was darkened, and therefore the light could not penetrates. No doubt, most of you in this room know Jesus Christ as your Savior. However, there may be some people who cannot shine for God. Why? Because we have allowed things to darken our lives so the light cannot penetrate. And what will do that? Well, one thing is taking for granted the things of God. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us, as God led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and the promised land, that God rained bread from heaven upon the earth. Psalm 78:25 states, man did eat angels' food. Don't tell me there's not food in heaven. God rained food from heaven that angels eat upon the earth, called manna. And they'd go outside, and they'd gather the manna off the ground, week in, month out, for 40 years. But after a while, the Bible says, they begin to gripe. They begin to murmur. And they begin to complain. You know why? They took for granted the manna of God. My friend, today, there's a danger of people hearing so much of the Bible. You know, when a person first gets saved, they sit there like a sponge. They take in the Word of God. They're stirred. They're motivated. They are challenged. But after hearing the Word of God over and over again, the Bible goes in one ear, out the other ear, and no longer does the Bible motivate our lives. What is our problem? We've taken for granted the things of God, and that'll put out a person's light. But another reason why many cannot shine for God is because we allow small things to get within our lives. You know, every year in West Virginia, my mother did spring cleaning, and I hated it with a passion. You know why? I had no sisters. And my brother, mothers and I, we had to do the housework, cleaning that house. And so my mother, as Lithuanian, you know how foreign people are, it's got to be done right, you know. And so, oh, I mean, when I got through, my brother, our hands looked like dishpan hands. We got the house spotless. And one night, my mother said, Jerry, would you go downstairs and throw a bucket of coal in the furnace? And I said, yes, Mother. And I ran downstairs, and I literally took her at her word. I opened the door, and I flung the whole bucket of coal in the furnace, threw the bucket down, kicked at the door, ran upstairs. We all go to sleep. The next morning around 6 o'clock, the furnace kicked in. When it did, because I kicked at the door, I did not shut the door. That door blew open. All of that tiny black soot. And by the way, that's the correct West Virginia pronunciation. It's not soot. It is soot, buddy. Soot. That black soot came to the furnace door, up to the floor registers, and when we woke up, the entire house was covered with a black film of that black soot. And my dear mom just about killed me. You never saw such a mess in your life. But you know something? If one small piece had settled on the ceiling, we may have never noticed it. By one, it formed that black film. You know what will ruin most of God's people? It's not some great sin. Oh, no. What ruins most of God's people is some small thing you never deal with in your life. Many years ago, my wife and I were reading. By the way, she's a very avid reader. I'm a very avid sports page reader, okay? And so we were reading. I put the book down, my paper down. Sharon put the book down, and she looked at me and she went like this. When she does that, I've either mispronounced a word or got a phrase backwards or something. And I looked at her and said, what's the problem, honey? She said, Jerry, you got some dirt right here on your face. Well, look at me, congregation. I'm usually a very kind, gracious husband. But I was kind of ornery that day for some reason. And so I looked at her and I said, well, Sharon, no, I don't. And her eyes got this big. She said, well, Jerry, yes, you do. I said, well, Sharon, no, I don't. Well, she got so exasperated with me. She said, well, why don't you go look in the mirror in the bathroom? I said, okay. So I go in the bathroom. I turn the light on. I looked in the mirror. And men, would you believe it? She was right. So guess what I did? I went in there and I turned the water on as softly as I could turn it on with a washcloth and soap. And I washed my face and I came out there. I was so embarrassed. I said, Sharon. And I always hang my head when I apologize to her. I said, Sharon, I'm sorry. ye were right. You know, I don't know you people. But let's say I knew you well enough that I could walk up to you and say this. Hey, brother. Hey, lady. You've got sin in your life. You could look at me and say, well, Jerry, no, I don't. And I could come back and say, yes, you do. And you could retaliate and say, no, I don't. And I could never convince you, congregation, until you look in the perfect mirror of God's Word. I'm going to tell you something. You've got to keep the life clean. The light within cannot shine if the life is not clean. You've got to deal with sin, or else that sin will always come back and deal with you. You have a primary purpose. It's your responsibility. You've got to keep the life clean. This is the primary purpose. But third of all, look back at our text. Look at the public profession. Let your light so shine before men. Now there it is. There's the public profession. We are to shine before men. Now, can I give you an observation that I've made? Now, folk, I never want to give the idea or the opinion that I know it all. But I'm giving you an honest observation as I travel nationwide in our independent fundamental works like your church here. And here's my observation. In most of our churches, we are straight in our theology. We have the Word of God taught us. We've got the notes. We've got them like this. We are straight in our theology. Number two, we are correct in our music. Our music glorifies our Lord. And third of all, we are right in our separation. We know we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And you know something? Although we are straight in our theology, and we are correct in our music, and we are right in our separation, the world is dying and going to hell because most of God's people have lost sight of the public profession. Let your light so shine before men. You've got to be soul conscious. You hear me? You've got to be soul conscious. You've got to make yourself available about telling others about the Savior. Many years ago, and I was just a brand new convert, and I was working for the newspaper company, and I got burdened one day to go and tell people about Jesus Christ because of what Christ did for me and my mom and my dad. And so I said to this coal miner, 15 years older than me, I said, would you be willing to go with me every day for 2 weeks and tell people about Jesus Christ? And that coal miner said, Jerry, if you want to go every day, I'll go every day with you. And so I worked an 8-hour shift at the newspaper company, the night shift. I got in the morning at the few hours of sleep. Brother Summers, likewise, he worked a night shift. We would go out soul winning all day, every day, for 2 weeks in a row. During the second week, we are going down the road, going back home. When all of a sudden, we go by house, and I don't know why this happened, but the Lord prompted me to visit those people. They said, hey, Dot, stop the car right here. He's okay. And I jumped out, and he jumped out too, and we walk up, and I knock on the door. A lady answered. And I said, ma'am, my name is Jerry, and this is Dot. We are from the Fellowship Baptist Church. And she burst out weeping. Well, I never saw anyone weep like this. She was in convulsions. And I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, I do not know your problem, but could I come in your house and take the Bible and show you how Jesus could save you? And she said, yes. I walked into the home of Mrs. Mildred Clausen. I sat down beside her with Brother Dot Summers by my side. I opened the Word of God, and I showed her the plan of salvation. And then I said, Mrs. Clausen, would you like to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? And she began to cry and weep. And she said, yes, I do. And she fell to her knees. She prayed. She asked Christ to save her. We stood up. I'll never forget this. She's drying her eyes. And she said these exact words to me. She said, "Jerry, as you were knocking on my door, I was already walking downstairs to my basement to commit suicide." She had a crippling arthritis. Her hands were like this. She said she had the suicide note written, the glass of poison already poured. And she said these exact words, "When you knock on my door, I knew God sent you." And here I am, just 17 years of age. I looked at that lady, did not say one word out loud, but in my heart, I said, "Dear Father, if that lady right there was ready to commit suicide," I said, "there must be people all across America waiting for someone to come and tell them about Jesus Christ." And then I thought my heart was going to burst, because in my heart, I cried out and I said, "Dear Father, I am willing to be that man. And I am in your pulpit this evening because I paid a small cost, went soul winning every day for 2 weeks and led Mrs. Clausen to Christ. Her husband Tom came to Jesus Christ. Many of their children came to Jesus Christ. Many other relatives came to Jesus Christ. Why? Because I see the significance of the public profession. Let your light so shine before men." When is the last time you personally sat down with someone, opened the Word of God, and showed them the way of salvation? Where would I be today if a man of God did not leave Lapeer, Michigan, to come and reach the coal miners in West Virginia? And he reached my cousin's house. And as he knocked on the door, she opened the door, and he said, "I'm Pastor Doug Rutherford from the Fellowship Baptist Church." And she said, "I'm a Roman Catholic." And she went to close a door, and he literally put his foot between the door so she couldn't close it. And said, "Ma'am, that makes no difference." He said, "Has anyone ever taken a Bible and shown you how to be saved?" She said, "No." He said, "Would you mind if I would show you?" She said, "No." And my cousin Harriet got saved. Her husband came home, and he said, she said, "Honey, I got saved." He said, "You got what?" He didn't know the Bible, but he saw her life transformed. And he goes to church, and he got saved. And then he comes and invites me to go to church, and I got saved. But where would I be if that man of God didn't come to West Virginia and putting his foot in the door so she could not close the door and reach us for Christ? Have you thought tonight, where would you be? You know where I would be? I'm telling you the truth. I would no doubt be a drunk in the hills of West Virginia. My older brother today is still a very heavy drinker. My brother Dennis was a drunk. I'm telling you something. Where would you be? It's so crucial that we recognize how important it is we let our lives be a light in this darkened world. If anyone does not know Christ as their Savior, someone hates you, does not want you to come to Christ. How do I know that? The Bible says so. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God," that's Satan, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." And so the devil will do everything he can to keep a person from coming to Jesus Christ. And Christ, my friend, is the one you've got to come to while you've got the opportunity, and let him save you. The one who died for your sins. The one who can give your life. Jesus says, "I've come to give them life, and to give it unto them abundantly. And no one will ever know the abundant life until they come to him." Let's bow our heads and pray, please. You've listened well tonight. In a moment, I'm going to have our pianist play a song of "Rescue the Perishing." That's page 530. And while they're getting ready for the song, 530, "Rescue the Perishing," I want to speak to you a few moments. And I do not want tonight you raising your hand. I want to speak to you tonight, and I want you to ponder something right now. You have the personal possession? You say, yes, sir, I do. I know Christ has saved me. The primary purpose, are you keeping your life clean so the light can shine through your life? You say, Brother Jerry, there's some things I need to deal with, don't I? Yes, you do. I don't know what it may be, but you'll never be the witness with a darkened life. You've got to deal with it. Whatever it may be, it's none of my business. And the public profession, letting your light shine before men, not just inviting people to church, but taking the Word of God, getting their eyes fastened on the Scriptures. Let them read the verse out loud, as I often do. Let them see the truth of the Word of God themselves. Do you do that? You say, well, Brother Jerry, it's been a long time since I've done that. Well, I would challenge you tonight to respond to the Lord, not to me. If you're not saved, do not know Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to come to Christ. Let someone take the Bible and show you how you can come to the Lord. Oh, I pray you'll do that. Dear Father, we ask tonight for the Holy Spirit to take the power of thy word. I pray, Lord, you bless these people. I know they love you. And I pray, Father, that you would do a work in our midst. And Lord, we pray we'll see people in heaven one day because of what you've done in the service this evening. And Father, if there's anyone here without Christ who's not saved, may they come through our Savior. We ask in Christ's name, amen.